connection card to make sure that you give that to one of our leaders, one of our elders, and they'll make sure that they get you a free gift, and we want to make sure that you feel welcome. Welcome to Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go, right, everybody? Yes. Do you have your message notes handy?
Yes.
If you don't have message notes, you'll need them. Raise your hand high, and we'll get message notes to you. A couple of people over here are great people. How about over here? Anybody in message notes 100%? You got them? Show them to me. Yeah, you got them? Good. Oh, there you are, bro. Good. All right. Amen. Lunch Together is happening. A couple of slides are going to go up real quick that I want to make sure that you know about. Lunch Together is happening immediately after our second service. We'll need some men that are mighty to, amen. You don't even need to, you can be mighty in a good way. Give me a good amen. Mighty on the inside. Is that right? And just help us set up the room for the fellowship that we'll have. Some of y'all brought some good stuff. We're going to be able to eat. If you haven't gotten it yet, you can still go and get some. Churches is right up, not another church, but churches. Amen. They got a different pastor. Church. And anyway, they got different things at HEB too. Feel free to get enough to share with about six people, and we'll enjoy that together and break bread. Tomorrow, Man Up is coming. We're going to do a Man Up, just church work day in the evening. And if you'll join me with all the good things that you can bring out of your tool shed, out of your garage, lawnmowers, weed whackers, we'll also rearrange things that we need to rearrange and just clean up the place. It's been a long time coming. And if you want to do a special project that's been on your heart that you've seen the church do, we do need the muscle. You can come back and see me personally. I'll be in the cafe immediately after service to meet people, and you can we'll talk about what you can do if you want to do. You know how guys like to do certain things? Yeah, some guy, not in this church, right? But maybe you want to do certain things and you can do it. Then we'll deploy you to do that, and we'll even pay for the materials. Is that good? Yes.
Amen.
Finally, the Bait of Satan is this coming Wednesday. We want to make sure that you're part of that teaching. John Bevere teaches this, and he'll be here via video, and then we'll do small group circles. We're all going to be offended, and this is the power to overcome that offense. And so it's going to be Wednesday evenings, and it's going to take the rest of the summer to finish this, and we want to make sure you're part of it this coming Wednesday. Come expecting, and aren't you glad to be off during Wednesday nights in July, those that usually show up on Wednesdays? Okay, I was, thank God. But I'm glad we're coming back this coming Wednesday, right, everybody? Some of you go, we have service on Wednesday. Yes, we have service on Wednesday, but we took off in July, and I'm so glad that you're part of it. Hey, this is my cheesy first joke out of the sermon. Is that okay? I'm going to tell you a cheesy joke. Is that okay with everybody? So these three pastors, they're on this fishing trip, and they're discussing various topics, and one of the preachers, you know, pastor says, you know, I think it's time now we're accountable to each other. We've been praying with each other that we're confessing to each other our sins. Because the Bible says if we confess to God and we confess to each other that God heals us. And so I want to really overcome this. And guys, I'll be the first to be real transparent. He said, my biggest sin is I like to go to the beach and watch pretty girls walk by. And I got this wandering eye and I just want to overcome that lust. Would y'all pray for me? And they go, sure, brother, we're going to pray. He says, I'm so glad for your transparency. The next guy, pastor comes up, says, my biggest sins is I love lots of lotto tickets and I bet and gamble. I go online and do stuff in secret to bet and gamble. And I just need to overcome that because my money doesn't need to go there and God's money doesn't need to go there. So they prayed for him to overcome the gambling habit, the el vicio, you know, that, and he had to overcome it. And so finally it's real quiet. They're waiting on the third guy and they both turn to him and go, hey, how about you, brother? He said, you know, I've been thinking long and hard, and I can't wait to get off this boat because my biggest struggle is gossip. Yeah. So he said it with a grin, but who knows what happened after that, right, everybody? We're talking in our second part, acceptable sins, about there's things that we say, well, these are necessary sins, and I'm going to sin like a Christian, so I'm not going to do the three, like, I'm not going to murder anybody, rape anybody, I'm not going to steal, make false gods, I'm doing pretty good, check, 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 but God is saying, you know, look on the inside, things that you think that are acceptable, things that you think that you can just keep going by in life today, and I think many of those things, Christians sometimes focus too much on really non-believers or people that don't know Christ, and they tend to judge the world when we really should be judging within the body. And if we're called to judge anybody, It's within the circle here at Living Faith Church. You understand that today? Amen. And so, in first, the order should be you judge yourself. And if you get past that big judgment, because that's a big one, then you can maybe judge the house of God. And so well, I'm doing okay. Well, if you think about it, you're really not if you have that sort of attitude. Because if you compare yourself to Jesus, the one that was sinless, the one that was perfect, no one's doing good, including yours truly. Right, everybody? And so he has ways, God has ways of searching our hearts today that are exposing some things that need to be exposed, not for everyone, but God would come and say, confess to me, and I'll help you, my son, my daughter, today. We get through the day sometimes and we say, you know what, if I don't do this habit, if I don't go through this, then it's really not me. And it's very dangerous to make things acceptable in your life when they're called sins in our lives today. And so it can become part of our identity, and it's a bad identity to have if you're known for those sort of things today. King David, we read a prayer last week in Psalms 139 on the big screen, because it's not in your handout today. And we prayed it for 4 weeks. We're going to pray this prayer because it's a prayer that we can say in different ways, even though we're saying the same words. We can ask God to do something different in our lives because we're pausing and considering. Remember, we're desperate for God in this room today. We're not just going to say some sort of lazy prayer, but there's been points in our lives that we've had to say, God, if you don't show up and give me a miracle, only heaven can give me this right now because earth can't give it to me. And so with desperation, we pray a prayer like this, right, everybody? King David prayed it, and we can pray it. So consider it on the big screen as you pray it with me. Search me. Search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. I just want to pause right there. And God, again, do a scan on me today, not physically or on the inside where they'll see a heart or a liver, but maybe they'll see my spirit today. God, would you see my spirit today? Search me. See, that's the way we pray, right, everybody? We just don't go through it because God is waiting for just a little bit of thought that you're saying, really search me, God. Oh, God, know my heart, God, today. You know me, God. You made me. Test me, God. Are you praying with me today? Yeah. Know my anxious thoughts, God. Anything that would cause worry, concern, or something that's going to be put out there, Lord, and I'm going to make it something that's not right because it's not made in your image, God. Know my anxious thoughts. Point out, God, everything that might offend you this day, that might keep your presence from my lives, God, because you're not around a sinful person, Lord, and I don't want to offend you. And Lord, I'm so thankful today you lead me into the path of everlasting life. I didn't deserve it, God, but you still called me to the table. You still made me a son today. The daughters of the house say amen, right, everybody? Yeah, we don't deserve it, and God's made us one of his own today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I bless you, Lord, this day in the name of Jesus to your glory. Lord, today, your hearts are open to God now, right? Amen. You've prayed. So now you got about 12 seconds to give that gossip away because you're not going to have that 12. After we preach this message, you're going to feel real bad. Do you understand that today? So you have 12. Hit your neighbor and say, this one's for you, neighbor. If you're not doing it, I will call you up here. Okay, I'm looking at you, bro. No, I'm just... How come it's so easy to say, I don't gossip, but I've been gossiped about? Has anybody ever been gossiped about? Sure I have, man. You're in this business, you're going to get gossiped about. You're on the front line, right? And so it's hard. So we're all addicted sometimes to negative words. And this rabbi named Joseph Tzitzkin, he's the author of Words That Hurt, Words That Heal. He lectures throughout the country. And he charges these big bucks to give really these thoughts away that I'm going to give you free today. And they're powerful and they're negative. And he says in an audience, he says this to him. He says, can you go 24 hours without saying any unkind word or about a person or to another person? And so a couple of people in the audience, they raise their hand and they go, I can. But some go, no way, I can't. They raise their hand when he asks them, no, who can't? And nobody, some people go, no, I can't. And they laugh and they can't because it's part of them today. And so he goes on to say, and he teaches this. He says, if you can't go 24 hours without drinking liquor, then you're probably addicted to alcohol. If you can't go 24 hours without smoking, then you're probably addicted to nicotine, right? And he finishes and he says, if you can't go 24 hours without saying an unkind word about others, then you probably can't control your tongue. Wow. And so we don't want that tongue that can be in the living room and go all the way in the kitchen and get a spoon, right, everybody? You want to have a shorter tongue than that today. And so when someone comes up to you and they say, you really need to know this. I'm about to tell you something so big. I'm supposed to not to tell anybody because I promised them I wouldn't tell anybody, but you're the one person I'm going to tell. And so, you know, think it's not a big deal, but everybody does it. And so I looked at a lot of definitions about what gossip is. And the best definition I really found out there was by Pastor Rick Warren. He has a church in Saddleback. It's not in your notes, but on the big screen it says this. When you're talking about a situation with somebody who is neither part of the problem or part of the solution, then you're probably, yeah, if they're not there and they're not part of the problem or part of the solution, then you're probably gossiping. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, verse 19, we're going to do a lot of study in Proverbs because it really sets us right. It's wisdom on how to live our lives. It says this. Why don't you read it together on three with me? Come on, Living Faith. Those welcome on internet right now watching live stream, they want to hear you. You can hear this scripture, Proverbs 6, 16, 1, 2, 3. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. A false witness that pours out lies, and a person that stirs up conflict in the... Yeah. And so I still remember that one girl that I was in this big church and they have this college and career group. And we were like talking on the phone and it wasn't Irma. It was another girl, BC, before Christ. Amen. Before Irma, B-I, before Irma. Amen. And she was on the phone with me and she said, man, I just read Proverbs and I read those seven things that God detests. And she said, man, I do four of them at least. And I thought, wow, man, I'm not going to marry you. No, no, I didn't say that. You know what the whole thing was about that conversation? I reflect back on it after all these years that she wanted some hope. She didn't want to do those things. She was God's child. She was God's daughter. And just like you're God's child because you're here this morning, you're watching right now, there's hope that you don't have to do those things. Amen. That God can give us the prescription of his word and we can obey it and do what God told us to do. Right, everybody? And so I thank God. It says that God detests. He hates it. He can't stand gossip. Right, everybody? I mean, it's one of those things that he just, I wondered why God detests gossip. Maybe not for a lot of reasons, but there's some things that come full circle here. I don't mind you talking so much about me. It bothers me at times when I've heard it and I hear it. It comes back to me. It always does. Yeah, it came back, dude. I heard what you said about me, okay? So get over it. I mean, I heard, yeah, I know. I know what you said, lady. It comes back, amen. I don't know what, I finally hear it, but not so much of a big deal, right? Everybody, you can tell. You know what's a big deal to me? How about you, Mom and Dad? When somebody talks about my children, when you talk about Andrew and Rebecca, boy, that's a killer to me. That sets me off. And I never will forget this one mom that gave me that example without even knowing. She said, she had a problem with another pastor that she used to go to like 20-something years ago, and she brought it up to me just years ago, and she said this to me. My son that was a toddler at the time was on the church stage, and he was a toddler. And the pastor just ripped into him, the little toddler, and got so to the point that the mama, single parent mama at that time, had to come defend the child. Now, was the little boy wrong? Yes, he was very wrong by being on the stage, but he was a toddler. And so her point was like, come on, chill out, dude. He's a kid. You don't need to treat him that way. And so I believe that God would even have that father heart towards us, as God the Father, and say, when one of us is being talked about, God's a father. And if you hear somebody talking about your brother or sister at school, in your neighborhood, because they're made in the image of God, right? That's God's child in this church, that they're still, God's heart is hurt and he's defending that child. He may be doing wrong. He may be all about sin, just like being on the stage, unwelcomed, right, everybody? But that still hurts God, right, everybody? Amen. It still bothers God that you're talking about his kid, and that's his kid that you shouldn't be talking about because it hurts the heart of God. Do you understand that today? It says this, that love covers a multitude of what?
Sin.
Rights? No, sins. Love covers your brother when he's messed up, when he's wrong. If you really love him, you cover him today. Right, everybody? I'm so glad that I wonder about the heart of God. And when we talk about God's kids and somebody talks about your kids, it's equivalent that, man, we don't want to talk about God's children because it hurts God's heart and it offends God. And that's why God detests it, because it's his heart today. You're talking about his children. Proverbs 18:8 says this, words of gossip are like, they're like carne guisada. They're like barbacoa tacos. Yeah, amen. They're like choice morsels because it's something so nauseating, but it appeals to us. They go down into the where? And so something so nauseating, but yet it can be so still appealing to us for us to want to do that today. Am I helping anybody today? Are you glad you came to Living Faith Church? Wave a hanky at me or something. Say, Pastor, you're preaching truth today. Or man, you're hurting me. Keep throwing rocks at me, right, everybody? Yeah, I'm going to duck if you throw one back. Amen. It's like a boomerang. It comes back and hits me, right, everybody? Why do you participate in gossip? Why do I participate in gossip? And I think the important thing to understand is sometimes I've asked, and, well, I feel important, you know, because they shared that with me, even though I shouldn't have known it. I like it. I like hearing dirt. I enjoy making others look bad, and so I talk about them. One guy who was interesting told me, I lead such a boring and dull life, and I'm dissatisfied with life, that it's juicy just to hear that. It's like entertainment to me. And so I couldn't find one single reason that's good why I or you should participate in gossip. It actually darkens your heart. It makes the heart darker. My heart can get pretty dark. How about yours? Yeah, you don't want to admit it in the church, but you can. It's okay to be honest, right, everybody? If you're going to live as Christ followers, you're going to have to live differently. You're going to have to live higher than other people today. Not that you're better, but you have a higher standard because you have the Heavenly Father's DNA in your life, and he doesn't like gossip, and neither should you. And he doesn't gossip about his children or about his kids, and neither should you. How come I never talk about Andrew and Rebecca? Because they're my blood, but we're the blood-bought people here in the eyes of God. We're all brothers and sisters in this room, right, everybody? Yes. And that includes my neighbor. They're pre-Christians. They don't even know it yet, but they know God yet. They don't know God, but they're still God's. They're made in the image of God today, right, everybody? I want to overcome the sin of gossip today. And so when the chatterbox opens, I want you to ask these three questions. I got to go through them quickly because I'm hungry. How about you? So let's look at this. Number one is this. Is my conversation helpful or hurtful? Right, everybody? Is it helpful or hurtful today? Saul of Tarsus said some hurtful things to the early church. He was this man that was about murder, breathing murder, and even he put people in jail that were part of the early church when they were having a revival. Now as a follower of Christ, he comes full circle and he sees about how words should be played out in our lives as believers in Christ. So Ephesians 4:29 on the big screen, on three out loud. Let's go ahead and say this together. Come on, everybody. 1, 2, 3. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up. In other words, mind your own business. Amen. Right, everybody? Man, I got enough trouble keeping my own life straight and keeping Irma's life straight because that girl keeps me busy, right? Then I got to worry about you. It's a full-time job just doing all this other stuff, right? And so I can't have a full-time job. I shouldn't have one, according to Scripture, talking about you behind your back, everybody. Look at what Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, so wise he went crazy. Solomon, Proverbs 16:27. Scoundrels create trouble. Their words are like a destructive blaze. The troublemaker plants seeds of strife. What does it say? Gossip separates. How many friendships have been ruined age by age, century by decade by decade, or you're not trusted anymore because you have a big mouth? Yeah. Is it hurtful or is it helpful? Let's be honest. I have this thing that I do and I'm guilty of it, and I call it a praise taco because I like eating tacos. And the taco is this: I disguise something in a praise taco. And so they say, "Hey, pastor, what do you think about that pastor over there that's doing that church over there on that thing?" And I go, "Hey, that's a good man. He loves Jesus, and that guy, you know, man, he's awesome. But here's a praise taco. In the middle, I put, you know what? I just don't like the way he teaches on this subject, or he overemphasizes this. And that's just, you know, other than that," and I come back, the praise taco, I fold it over, and I go, "Hey, but he's a good man. He loves God." Was that necessary? No, not at all. So I'm saying something that doesn't necessarily, and all I should say is, "Man, that's a good man. He loves God, and he's reaching people, and we ought to support him too." Amen? Do you see the difference there? There's this video clip that I got from a comedy sketch, and this girl's doing a stand-up. And I think it's pretty funny because I think some of the best gossip that we hear is around the prayer circle. Hermana 911, Hermano 911, amen? You telephone or you tell a brother, right? And that's how they spread the news. But let's go ahead and watch this just for a moment as the lights come down. Let's watch this quick.
I go to church. Anybody else here go to church? Anybody go to church here? Mostly the front. The back don't want to go to heaven. That's okay. One thing they talk about at church is gossiping, how gossiping is bad. Don't do it. Nothing good comes from it. But I like how some people in the church like to disguise their gossiping as a prayer request. There's always that one girl that's like, "Come on, you guys, circle up. We need to pray. We need to pray." Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just pray for Tanya right now. Because I don't know if anybody here knows this, but she is pregnant. And Lord, we know that you are a mighty, powerful God, and you can show her who the Father is. And I trust that what happens in the prayer circle stays in the prayer circle. Nobody goes blabbing their mouth. Cindy, want to come pray with us? We're praying for Tanya because you're pregnant. You don't want to pray? Okay, that's fine. You pray for Cindy because you're probably pregnant too. I'm Angela Johnson. Thank you so much.
You've been in those prayer circles where you talk about Cindy for an hour and then you don't have any time to pray for her? Or Tanya or whoever it might be, and time ran out. You only pray 1 minute after you talk about them and run them into the ground. Is it okay to, can we ever talk about anybody, even if it's right? You know, listen to this. Everything that you say should be true, but not everything true must be. Man, that's a good preach, Pastor. Everything that is said should be true, but not everything that is true should be said today. Is it helpful or is it harmful? Words need to build, not destroy today. The second thought is this: am I making a private matter public? Wow. Solomon, again, the wisest man that ever lived, he said this, Proverbs 11:12, "It's foolish to belittle one's neighbor. A sensible person keeps his trap shut." That's Mario's interpretation right there. Keeps quiet. "A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a..." Am I making a private matter a public problem because of my mouth that's running when it shouldn't be running today? There's this book I read, and it speaks of this situation, and a pastor's counseling this couple, and it was a devastating time in their life. The pastor the man had committed adultery, and he got caught, and the wife and him are coming to the pastor to try to get restored, and the woman is almost there. She has so much hurt in her life that she works through it, and she begins to say, "You know what, I think we can get through this," and it takes months. Pastor's counseling them. He brings an accountability group because Scripture says that God forgives us when we confess our sins. but we're healed when we confess to each other. Not everybody, but to each other. So he brings in two other couples, their small group, and they begin to dialogue. Now, this is after months, and the process is happening of building back that trust and that marriage to where it one day can be. And it goes well with those two other couples. And they pray, and the woman is feeling stronger that God committed adultery against. That one of the couples, one of the ladies in the couple, went and told someone else about what was covenant and not to be spoken about to anyone else. And that other person that she told, well, then they put it on social media like a prayer request, and it came back to that woman that adultery was committed on, that was trying to save her marriage. And she came back to the pastor and said, I can't live this way anymore. Everyone now knows my business, and it's shameful, and I feel so embarrassed. And I can tell you this, as the book said it, adultery didn't end that marriage. You know what ended that marriage in divorce? Gossip, yeah. Gossip ended that marriage where it could have been saved. So you see the destructive power of gossip and what it can do and the force that it can have in lives. It can make a lot of casualties. And social media, you send a text or you screenshot something that was on a text and it was meant confidential. And no one else was supposed to see that, but you show it to everybody. And it's something that you do, and it's a part of being a gossip. Social media and gossip and bullying is killing our kids. Every school year, there's a child that commits suicide because he's bullied on social media, and gossip runs that course today. And so why do you want to walk away from gossip? Why do you want to not have any part of it? To protect other people. You protect other people when you walk away. Do you understand that today? Amen. And the final one that's real important is you protect yourself. You have to have the reputation that people can have confidence in your life, that when they share something to you, you're not going to share it with anybody else. You're trusted that way. And we build a great church by having people like that in our circle. Give me a good amen. Amen. Yeah. Proverbs 25:9 says this, when arguing with your neighbor, right, everybody, don't betray another one's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip, but others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never regain a good reputation. Wow. Is my conversation helpful? Is it hurtful? Am I making a private matter a public matter that causes problems? Have I stepped on anybody's toes, the toes? I'm wearing high heels today. Am I stepping on your toes today? I'm an equal opportunity toe stepper today. So this final one here, if I haven't, I'm coming at you. Number three is this. Three, am I permitting others to gossip in my circle? In Proverbs 17:4, wrongdoers eagerly listen to what? Liars pay close attention to slander. Not just wrong to speak gossip, but it's also wrong, according to Scripture, to listen to it. Man, we got big ears, right? What was that? Man, 20-something years ago, I'm younger, and I'm riding in the back of a pickup truck. We're going down I-10, and I was part of another church that, again, we were loving that church, but there were like four guys in the back of the pickup truck. That's how long ago it was, because if you go down I-10 in the back of a pickup truck now, how many of the police are going to come after you? You still don't do that. So I was in the back of the pickup truck, and we're all like railing on the pastor, saying, if pastor would do this, our church would be better. One guy, you know what? He's married, because he's married to that woman he's married to. She's probably doing this. And man, it was just like, man, if that guy, my pastor was in bed, his ears were probably itching. Amen. Man, y'all look so serious. Have y'all done that? So anyway, we're railing on the pastor and talking about him. And finally, how many know there's always this one guy that's the most spiritual guy in the back of the pickup truck? He's like Jesus. And he's going to make everybody feel bad because what he's about to say. And so he comes out, and we're all like, really? He says this. He said, you know what, man? All y'all. He said, if we keep talking about him like this, he's going to fail. And if we don't have anything good to say, we shouldn't say anything about pastor. And the only thing that we should say about him is something that should help him. Do y'all understand that? And we were like, And we all shut up. Boy, it was quiet in the back of that pickup truck the rest of the way, but we had to go. Do you all understand that today? I never forgot that. It marked me for the rest of my life today. And thank God I don't talk about my pastor anymore. Amen. Give me a good amen. No, I still have somebody I answer to, and I got to watch my mouth because I'm still accountable to people. And I have a boss today, right, everybody? And it is, it's Jesus, but it's more than Jesus. There's a human that can literally fire me. And it's not you, it's somebody not in this church. Give me a good amen. Amen. So if people are gossiping with you, do you know that they'll gossip? You can guarantee it. And so what you permit, you're going to promote also in life. And so listen, check this out. I want you to help me out. A couple of just feedback, do a little bit of a clinic here of understanding. How many, when you're given some, if gossip is coming at you, how many want to address it the right way? Amen. Yeah, yeah. You want to obey God. You love Jesus, anybody? Okay, you want to do what the Bible says? You're just, okay, you're stretching, okay, because you don't know what I'm going to ask you, so you're not going to, you've tricked me before, Pastor. How many want to do it the caring way? Can I see your hand? You want to do it the caring, subtle way? Yeah. How many want to do it the biblical way? You can do it that way, yeah. How many want to just get real direct all up in their bit? Yeah, tell them. Anybody want to do direct? Okay, a couple of y'all, good. Yeah, it's okay that no wrong answers. Who wanted to do it the caring, loving way? Show me again. Good, good, good. This is the way you would do it. You would say something like this. Example, they're talking smack about people. They're not there. You're part of the problem. You're going to say something like this. I'm not really feeling too comfortable about our conversation now. And if Joe knew that we were talking about him, he would probably be kind of hurt, sweetie. Okay? It's caring, loving. Yeah? You want to do it that way? You do it? All right, bro. All right, man. Keep it real, right? Who raised their hand for the biblical way? Sorry, you, Kat, over here. That's Kat. Yeah, yeah. A couple of y'all want to do it the Bible way. They're talking smack about Joe again. You're going to say, hey, if you have a problem, maybe you should go directly to Joe or Joanne. Because Matthew 18 says this, that if one offends you, then you go to that one in private. You know, throw some Bible out there, right, everybody? Who did three direct, all in their face, right? Anybody? Yeah, a couple of wave at me. Okay, good. You need to do this. Oh, no, you didn't. You talk about them, you're going to be talking about me pretty soon. And you ain't going to do that, or we ain't going to be friends. That's what you need to say, okay? You want to be direct. You can do all three at times. Give me a good amen. You can talk. Pastor, you mean I can't talk about people if they're doing something? You can talk about people all day long if you're saying something positive and uplifting and it's building them, right, everybody? And so say something constructive in front of the others around that person. Everyone that's part of that conversation should be part of the help that that person needs. Very rare is it proper to talk about somebody when they're not in that circle. And it's rare when maybe they need an intervention, when that person is addicted and they're going to end up dead if they don't stop that addiction. Right, everybody? Very rare if somebody's walking away and one of the bros here, hey, they're about to commit adultery on their wife. No, you go and intervene because you're their big brother. You're three of y'all go and say, no, brother, we're going to save your marriage because God wants to save marriages, and he wants to save it in this house, and so I'm intervening that way, and you go and talk to the guy, and that's Matthew 18 again, right, everybody? There's rare exceptions that you talk behind somebody's back, but very rare if they're not there. You help somebody today. And finally, I'm so glad it's over because I'm real hungry. Number, the final thought, extra notes here, your words matter. Somebody shout, your words matter. Words are powerful. They bring life or death, the Bible says. Jesus has a way of saying it in the New Testament because he was all-knowing, and Jesus is speaking here. He says, but I tell that everyone on that day will give an account on that judgment day for every empty word that they have what? Man, that's going to be a long meeting for some people, right, everybody? Think about all the things that were nonsense, that were gossip, that you're going to have to meet up with. But redemption, thank God for redemption that's coming. Give me a good amen for those that can adhere right now and say, God, help me right now. Verse 37, for by your words you will be acquitted. And that means you showed mercy to people. You spoke about mercy and hope. and by your words you will be condemned. If you had no mercy or condemnation, or you spoke about them like they were a redheaded stepchild, sorry if your head's red today, I don't mean to, but then you'll be condemned, right, everybody? You'll be condemned today. And so, how about you? Do you want to be caught well? When I'm caught, may we be caught well speaking of one another, right, everybody? May we be a builder, not destroyer. May we be a blessed fountain, not a curse fountain. May we say blessings over people's lives, not hurtful things over people's lives. I want to build a great church. Do I have anybody helping me today? Amen. Yeah, we're still a work in progress today. Christianity is called the gospel in a nutshell. And that gospel words, it means good news. And you know why it's good news? Because we say good news because our Father, Heavenly Father, sent Jesus as good news to us. And so we should have His character and His DNA that runs through our lives. And we spread nothing but good news about others, about each other, about the neighbors, about our family. It's good news, right, everybody? Or we don't say nothing at all today. And we serve a good God. Give me a good amen. Amen. Let's bow and pray. Father, we speak life over the congregation of Living Faith. And I thank you, God, for those that are even that are part of Living Faith on the internet today. Father, I know that I'm living a life that can be transformed by your living word today. And I pray that transformation would come. And God, that you would open up our hearts today. And our conversations would be different because we're in your presence at this very moment. The word has been spoken. Now change us. We want to do what your word says. And so, Father, I thank you today. Right now, in the house of the Lord today, as your heads are bowed and you prayerfully consider, maybe in your mind you're saying, consciously, I want to do things that are helpful, not hurtful. I want to do something that's private and not make it public. If somebody has confidence in my life, I want to make sure that it stays private. And then the final thought is this, in your mind and in your heart today, am I permitting somebody to say something around me that's displeasing to you? And I don't want to bring words of death. I want to bring words of life. If that's you, by the way that you speak to people, and no one looking around, I want to bring honor with my life today and my tongue. If that's you, would you lift your hand right now? Christians in this room, everyone's hand should be lifted. I don't know why, because you haven't arrived, but I'm just being that direct with you because I'm real nice most of the time, but I don't want to participate in death. If that's you right now, would you lift your hand? Father, I pray that every hand that is lifted, God, that you would heal their hearts right now. And Lord, that we would realize right now that we are sensitive right now, that we don't want to lie, be deceitful, are deceptive today. Lord, would you continually convict my heart? Continually, Lord, if I'm about to open my mouth and say something, if I've said something, God, it's already gone, Lord. But I pray, Lord, I would make amends and I would do something and say something right. Would it bring me disgust, God? And would I detest to say something evil right now against my brother or say something in gossip about them or my sister today? Thank you, Lord. Now this one, keep it up just for a moment right now. Everyone's hand, every Christian in this room. May people be able to trust us, God, when they give us something in confidence. Would we be that sort of church? Would Living Faith be known for people of trust, God, right now? And thank you, Father, that if there's something that's not necessary and if we're part of the problem, Father, I don't need to deal with that, Lord. I need to be part of the solution for somebody's life today. And may I never be part of a problem today in someone else's life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You may be in this room as your hands go down right now. And you say, I'm feeling real guilty right now because of what was spoken through God's word. And you know what? That's a good thing. It's called conviction. We're convicted. We should be convicted the rest of our lives to die a sinner's death, which means death forevermore. And you're in this room today, and you've never received Christ, and that's for you today. You're far away from God today. You're guilty of that today. You're guilty of sinning. You're guilty of being far away. I pray that right now that you would you would come to Christ. I'm making that invitation. Well, I'm not good enough. Yes, you are. Not because of what you've done, not by you coming to church today, not that you read the Bible once this week, or you read a scripture. That doesn't make you good. What makes you good today is the blood of Jesus. In His shame, what He did on the cross, He took upon your sins, my sins, everyone's sins in this room, and He paid the price for your sins. And today you come to Christ today. You walk with God today, and you can do it by a simple prayer. I won't embarrass you. I will see your hands lifted. No one looking around, please. This is a private moment that people would come to Christ. If that's you, you would say, I need to come to Christ at this very moment. Would you lift your hand slightly? I'll include you in a prayer. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If that's you, would you close your eyes, bro, and pray? God bless you, sir. Someone else, God bless you, Miha. Two daughters. Someone else making sure over here? Just making sure. Yes, I saw your hand go up. Thank you. Thank you. About five. Yes, six. Yes, I saw your hand. You can put it down. You can put it down. I see your hand. About seven people lifted their hand to God. All the sinners that are saved by grace in this house, would you pray this prayer? The seven that lifted their hands, yes, sir, I see your hand. The eight that lifted their hand, right now, you pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. This might be the 99th time that you prayed this. That's okay. It never gets old with God. It might be the second time, third time. We pray it again, first time. Let's pray it out loud, not out soft. Father in heaven, I call you Father because of what Jesus, your Son, did. He died for my sins. He died for my gossip. He died for my lying. All the things that I've done that brought me shame, that brought you shame. Jesus took upon my shame on a cross. Forgive me, Lord. I know I don't deserve it, but by the grace of God, I'm a child of God. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Fill the believer now, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. That stuff that's in, God, that doesn't belong, it's out. Now fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit today. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Fill us afresh today. Thank you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you His peace. For seven or eight people that raised their hand, come on, celebrate them out loud. Come on. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for new life at Living Faith Church, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For the seven of you or eight of you that lifted their hands, there's a connection card. If you'll let me know that you received Christ, I pray for you every week. If there's a prayer request, I get those back, and you can fill those out, and we pray, we ask God to help you today. Amen. There's a video series that's coming up this coming Wednesday. It's called The Bait of Satan, and I have a clip ready for you. I think I can show it to you. I want you to see John Bevere. Again, this will be based on a small group circle. We'll show it at Living Faith, and then we'll come together and do a small group circle where you'll be able to discuss. You're going to enjoy it. There'll be a handout attached to it. You need to make sure that you come back, along with our youth ministries that are kicking up again in August, and our children's ministry taking place. Can we see that clip? Thank you.
Living in the last days. Jesus said we would know the season, we would know the generation, though we would not know the day or the hour, correct? Many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Now look at an offended person will eventually betray. And a betrayal, if it is not dealt with, will ultimately lead to hatred. Those people that you thought were against you, and to allow in those people that you believe were for you. That's exactly what happens to a person when they become offended. They begin to build walls. Now the New Testament doesn't call them walls. The New Testament calls them strongholds. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city.
Amen. Isn't that good? Yeah. You want to be part of it. And so it's going to finish up in the summertime with us. And I think you'll enjoy it. Come back and be part. Also, don't forget, mighty men of God, if you could help me move the chairs and bring tables in so we can have a great fellowship. There'll be games, fun. You want to make sure that you're part of lunch together. If you haven't got anything to share with side, there's usually enough, but I just in case, you might want to go to Church's Fried Chicken or down the street HEB and get some quick, or La Fiesta's that way, probably a little bit quicker with traffic. And just pick up some sides so we can eat today. Would you welcome our great children's and youth pastor, Christina Martinez? She has a great announcement. Welcome her. Come on, make her feel good. She's a blessing.
Good morning, everybody. Yay. So I just want to, that was a really good message. I sat through the first service and it was really, really, it touched me. So it definitely got me in check. But I wanted to share with you guys Summer Blast. Who's got kids and who's excited for Summer Blast? Woo! Yes. So we're super excited. Summer Blast is going to be this coming Friday night, Saturday afternoon. And then while we're here for Sunday, the kids will finish up Summer Blast over in the student building. Our theme this year is exploring the God of the universe. And so we're going to be talking about, we're going to see planets. This place is going to be having stars hung down. We're going to have all kinds of really cool stuff, rockets everywhere. But we're going to just explore, you know, that God created everything, but that one thing that he created was us, and that he wants our relationship with us. Out of everything he made, the stars, the moon, everything, he wants us. And so we want our kids to know that love and to just go, you know, share with them, you know, that God chose you out of everybody. And so right now I have in my hand our flyers, our little things that we want you guys to take. Take at least 2, 3, 4 of them and pass them out to your friends, to your family. I know somebody's got a neighbor that has, you know, a son or a daughter. You're an aunt, you're an uncle. You've got somehow way you connect with somebody that's kinder through fifth. Even if you don't even have, I don't even have kids, but I connect with kids all the time. So these things are definitely, we want you guys to take a flyer, pass them out, and just be here. Also, you know, if you guys want to come in and just cheer on the kids for the games, or you want to, you know, help with the fruit cups, we're going to have fruit cups put together and, you know, pass out drinks and stuff. Of course, we need help, but we would also love just to see the kids and enjoy them having tons of fun. We're going to have a lot of games. I just told the kids, and I do think sometimes spur of the second, not spur of the moment, spur of the second. And I told the kids right now, and I was like, hey, who brings the most friends? You guys can pie me in the face. And they, like, all got excited. And Leno, I told them they might have to pie you in the face, too. So I was going to. But I told them the more friends you bring, the more you get to pie, you know, you could pie me or Gabriel or Leno in the face. So the kids are like, I'm going to bring 200 friends. So we want them to have fun. We want to have just a good old time and just learn about God. And so I want you guys to take some, pass them around to your friends, to family. Come and support our children's ministry. We would love to have you guys here. Thank you.
So before we end with one last song, I get the privilege of sitting through both sermons, and it's amazing. I know Pastor's always giving us credit and saying what a great worship team we have, but Pastor, can you stand up real quick? Come on, bud. I get to sit through the first sermon, and I come and I listen to the word, and it's amazing. And then... But I come to the second service, and man, he hits it out of the park just as much as the first service. And I just want to give him a hand clap. Everybody can give him a hand clap. And he remains humble and amazing. So
the only reason I came up on stage is because I kind of thought this, you know, if like a bunch of kids come, Christina talked about the pie in the face. What if Roger shaved his beard?
No.
You know what he told me? He said, hey, Daisy kind of likes this. So you have to go through Daisy for this. So she probably says no. But wouldn't that be something? Howard Burial shave his head. Somebody has to do something, right?
Yeah. Pastor has to shave
Jason,
his head.
We'll see. Y'all set the bar high, amen. But we'll see what we can do, amen. Somebody ought to give something, right? Don't you love this guy? Amen.
So let's all stand as we end in worship.
Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me?
Stay for our luncheon today. We'd love to have y'all.
I know now you play it right. Jeez.